If you are visiting with us, thank you very much. I believe Jonas said that at the beginning, but we were all talking so much, nobody heard Jonas' thanks for coming. And so thank you for being here, and we're honored that you've chosen to worship with us. We got some family in that is here for graduations, both at the colleges and at the schools, and so thank you for being part of our service this morning as well. All right, Senior Sunday, with the exception of last year, is one of my favorite Sundays of all. Because I have watched these kids. In fact, what's interesting is this is my 22nd Senior Sunday sermon. Now, I find that hard to believe. So I looked over the past 21 and started doing some calculations. And our kids have turned out pretty good. And so I am proud of what we have been able to do for our kids and what our kids have been able to accomplish. And they've done some mighty things in the kingdom, and they have been great men and women as they have left this place to go unto others. And so this is one of those Sundays that I've always appreciated. In fact, when we used to have youth ministers, the youth ministers never wanted to preach. And so they'd say, you preach and we'll hand out Bibles. So I want to make a committee come and help me hand out Bibles here in a little bit, even though we don't really have a youth minister on staff. Great group of kids. And this group of kids that we're going to celebrate tonight aren't kids. This group of young men and young women, they have seen a world different than ours. They lost the back half of their junior year and most of their senior year due to COVID, and did online learning and all of those things that we didn't think we would ever see something like that 10 years ago. And so they have lived in a different world. And so I am grateful. First of all, I'm grateful they got to have a real graduation. The group the year before didn't get that, but they got to have a real graduation, and they're going to get to do college face-to-face in the fall, and so that'll be great. And we're grateful for all they've accomplished. So I've got to figure out how to write a sermon that encourages them, but yet also encourages you. And so I want to talk about what matters in the kingdom. I think we all need to live our lives, whether we are 17, 18, graduating from high school, or whether we are 85, thinking about retirement, how we live in our kingdom, and how we live in this world that God has placed us in, and how we serve Him in whatever capacity and with whatever gifts God has blessed us as we live in the kingdom that God has inaugurated. Because this kingdom begins when we submit to it. Every one of us in this room who've been baptized, we have taken a step that has pledged our allegiance to the King. And the moment we have come out of that baptistry, we have said to the King, I am yours, and I'm going to serve you to the best I can. Now, what that King has done is that King has said, I'm going to do a few things in regard to you pledging your allegiance to me. First, I'm going to forgive you. And that bottom line is the most important thing that we need. That we need to be made right with Him, and we need to have our sins cleansed. And so we come out of the water, and the King says, let me tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to cleanse your sin, but then the second thing I'm going to do is I'm going to prepare a place for you, because you are mine, and after you're done serving me here, you're going to be with me there. And we call that place heaven. But He said, in between those two bookmarks, in between the start and in between the end, is everything in the middle, which matters just as much. And so I want us to see a parable that you've probably heard, because we talk about this parable at VBS often, about every 4 or 5 years it seems, but it's a parable you've never actually heard me preach from. And so I want us to wrestle a little bit with the parable of the talents, because the parable of the talents is all about what happens in the kingdom now and how we use what God has blessed us with. And again, whether we're 17, 18 years old, or whether we're 85, how we work and serve and use what God has blessed us with in the midst of the kingdom. So let's hear Jesus for just a second. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more, but the one who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. For you have been faithful over a little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." And he also, who had had the 2 talents, came forward, saying, "Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here, I have made 2 talents more." And the master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. For you have been faithful over a little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." He who had received the 1 talent came forward, saying, "Master, I know that you can be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours." I envision him giving him that talent back. But his master answered him, "You wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness, to the place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Okay, that's kind of a weird ending. We'll try to honor that ending here in a second. But what a story. I mean, it's a story that we've heard. It's a story that we wrestle with. It's a story where we talk about, what does a talent mean, and how much is a talent, and is this really about money, or is this about something else? And the more I've thought about this parable, the more I think it's not necessarily about talent or talents or money, but it's about trust, because it's all a matter of trust. And so the question I want us to start off with this morning is, what has God entrusted to you? As he looks at you again, whether you're 17 or 18, or whether you're 15 and a brand new Christian, or whether you're 85, what has God entrusted to you? Now, if we were to start doing an inventory, we would think, well, he's trusted up with time. He's given me my life. He's entrusted me with talent. He's given me some abilities to use within the kingdom of God. He's entrusted me with treasure. We all have a pocketbook that we're expected to use to glorify and to honor God. But what has God entrusted? The more I think about this line, the more I think that it's important for all of us to realize the things he's entrusted to us. See, I've got to understand and take to heart that God has looked upon me and said, here are the things I am going to bless Doug with, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to expect Doug, in the midst of his kingdom life, to use what I've entrusted to him. And I need to see that. Okay, I've been privileged with this group a bunch, actually, to be entrusted with their safety as we go various places. And so we've been to the reservation, we've been to Houston, we've been to San Antonio. Deona and I have trekked them all over this land. We took them to Six Flags, and I made Deona ride the roller coasters. That's why Deona got COVID so bad, was the kids gave them to it in the roller coasters. But when you send your kids with us, you entrust them. You expect me to make sure they get fed, and you expect us to make sure they get 2 and 4 places safe, and you expect us to keep them in an environment that is good for their safety and their well-being. You expect us to teach them about God because you've entrusted your children to us. Now think about how God views us. When God looks down, he says, here's what I've entrusted my people with. And every one of us, he's entrusted something. You may not be the preacher, or you may not be the song leader, or you may not be the great writer of cards, or you may not be anything that is seen in a very public presence, but you have been given gifts from above that God then expects you to use. Remember our story? He calls the 3 servants forward, and he says, you get 5, and you get 2, and you get 1. And we could probably make an issue of why he does 5, 2, and 1, but I really don't think that matters in the story. What he does, though, is he says, you got 5, you got 2, you got 1, you go and use them for the master. And you do what's expected. You do what you're supposed to do when you've been entrusted with something. So what has God entrusted to you? The second thing that comes out of the story is God expects you to use what he's entrusted. Okay, it's not a matter of what others expect. Okay, let me say that again. It's not a matter of what others expect. It's what God expects. And what God expects and what the world expects can be two totally different things. The world is going to look at you as you're graduating high school and saying, okay, you get out in this world, and whether you do it through education or whether you do it for entrepreneurship or whether you do it from serving in the military or whether you do it from a thousand other ways, you get out in this world and you make as much money as you can. And God's going to say, that doesn't matter as much to me. And the world is going to say, you get out there and you find your place and you build your home and you build your reputation and you show the world what you got. And it doesn't matter if you're working in the oil fields or if you're going to college or you're a teacher or a banker or a professor or whatever it is, fill in the blank. And God says, you take whatever it is that I've given you and you use it to glorify God. And I think it's important that we see not only who gives it, but what he means when he gives it. And then I think we need to realize the master expects something. Okay, if Lacey, I'm going to pick on you a second, okay? Is that okay? Say yes. All right. I entrusted Lacey 2 weekends ago with my brand new puppy. Now, I need to show my brand new puppy because I've told a story on my brand new puppy a time or two, but I've got this beautiful little golden retriever that's a snot. And so anybody who wants to help fix my golden retriever, just come over to the house and you can fix her. But I entrusted my brand new dog to Lacey. Now, when Lacey said, I'll come to your house and I'll feed her, here's what I expected from Lacey. I expected my poor little dog to get 3 meals a day and to have fresh, cold water and to be let in the house at night and put in her little thing so she was safe and not running around the neighborhood. If I'd have come home and my dog would have been emaciated and tongue out and running all over the neighborhood, I would have looked at Lacey and said, Lacey, I entrusted you with something somewhat important to me. What did you do? And I think we got to realize this story. Now, my dog was great. In fact, my dog likes Lacey more than my dog likes me, but that's a different story. We got to take the entrusting seriously. And if God is going to look down on us and say, here's what I'm going to give you, and you fill in the blank on what he's given you, it could be a kind heart, it could be a generous spirit, it could be a leadership ability, it could be one of a thousand things, and we look at that seriously and say, here is what God has given to me, our only response is to use the gifts that he's called us to use in a way that glorifies him. Because if I read the end of that story right, the price for not using it, it's pretty pricey. I mean, there aren't too many times when Jesus kind of goes on the deep edge and starts talking about judgment, and you kind of get this little envision of a bad place, don't you? I mean, weeping and gnashing of teeth in the end of that. And I think that may be Jesus' way of saying, if God has given you this, then he expects you to use it. And he expects you to bless the world. And what's interesting is he accepts no excuses. Remember the one who got the one? He comes up, and I want to quote from NIV because that's what my brain quotes when we start quoting things. He says, I know you're a hard man. You reap where you don't sow, and you gather where you haven't sent any seed. And so I think what he's saying is, I was scared of you. And I was scared of the judgment that might come, and I was scared that if I took the one, and I'm putting some words in his mouth, I'm scared that if I'd have taken the one and I'd have lost the one, you'd have stomped me out. And I don't think that's the point of Jesus at all. His point was, you didn't do anything with what I gave you. Okay, let's talk to all of us for a second. There may be moments when it comes to judgment that we start an excuse. And you remember how your mom used to deal with your excuses? Okay, here's how my mom did it. If I didn't get the dishes done in an opportune time, I started making excuses. Or if I didn't get them as clean as I should get them clean, I'd start to make excuses. Well, you didn't send Chloe. And the minute I'd say, she would point her finger at me and she would wag it and I would shut up. Because my mom might be 5'2 by 5'2, but she could whop a home run. And usually my rear end was the ball. And I knew not to make an excuse. Because her response would have been, who cares what she said? Who cares what she did? I gave you something to do. Okay, my friends, God has given us something. Whatever it is, God has given it to you. And God has said, here's what I expect out of you, and here's what I expect to use the gifts you have and the talents you have and the brains you have and the abilities you have and all of these things. I expect you not to be the one that buries it in the sand, afraid to fail, But to be the one that takes a step out in faith and says, here's what I'm going to do because of the God that we serve. Okay, let's go back to this group of kids for a second. We got some smart kids in this group. Adam could sell ice cubes to an Eskimo, which is why he's going to go work for his dad. You're going to put your dad out of business and just take over the company. I'm about 99% sure. We have got kids in here whose abilities in math exceed some of our engineers in this room. Just brilliant minds. We've got kids in this group that are gifted with their voices and are gifted with the way they love people and are gifted with hitting a golf ball and are gifted with doing all kinds of things. And what we need to realize is they're just like all the rest of us. They are gifted by God and called to use it not because of Senior Sunday, but called to use it because the Master loves them and says, here's what I have given and here's what I expect. Because the bottom line in all of this is, I think, a word called faithfulness. Because faithfulness matters. When I realize that God has said, here's what I'm going to give you, and here's what I expect from you, if I'm going to be faithful to the covenant of God, if I'm going to be faithful in saying, here is who God is, and here is what God has done, then we're going to honor the way we live and the way we serve. And we don't live in a faithful world right now. If reality is part of it, we live in a narcissistic world, don't we? I mean, we live in a world that says, I'm going to meet my needs, and I'm going to do what I want to do first, and I'm going to grab all the gusto I can, and I'm going to figure out whatever it is that makes me happy, and those are the things I'm going to do, and forget all the rest. And that's a call that is going out in our schools, it's a call in our high schools, and a call in our colleges, and it's in the workforce, and it's probably even at the Joy Center. I'm going to do whatever makes me happy. But God says that's not what faithfulness means. It's not me first. It's realize the Master first. See, oddly enough, I have met very few happy narcissists. Okay, you know what a narcissist is? A narcissist is one whose whole goal is to make sure he's happy. It's centered around me. It's very egotistical. Most of those people that I meet like that, they are miserable people. And they're miserable people because they think, well, if I buy this car, then I'm going to be happy. But then they find out that the next car is bigger and better and faster, so they're still not happy. And if I marry this girl because she's pretty, I'm going to be happy. But 5 years down the road, there's a new wrinkle, and they say, well, I got to work on that one. And they think if I get this job, or if I get this job, or if I live in this neighborhood, and they fill in 1,000 blanks trying to satisfy themselves, and almost every single narcissistic person I've ever seen is miserable. Because they're missing out on what really matters. That it's not about being faithful to self, it's about being faithful to the Master. And what's funny is the ones that I see who are faithful, not out of fear, not out of duty, but are faithful because God has loved them so much, their only response is faithfulness, they live the most joyous lives I've ever seen. And it's part about using what God has granted. Now, I love the line that appears to the 5 and to the 2. The line that appears to the 5 and the 2, remember, is, well done, my good and faithful servant. Been faithful with some, I will grant you even more. That's one of the lines I want to hear more than anything else. You know, there are certain lines I like to hear. I like to hear before I go to bed, Nikki lean over and say, I love you. I like that line. I like to hear from my kid every now and then. I like to hear from you. That was a decent sermon. I like to hear from the staff. We're going to Starbucks. What can we get from you? That's a hint. None of them are probably listening. They're going to send me a text and tell me what they want for in the morning. I like to hear those things. But what I long to hear more than anything else is the Master to look when I stand, although I'm guessing I won't be standing. I'm thinking I'll probably be face first on the ground. I think all of us will be. When I'm before the Master and he says, well done, good and faithful servant. See, I long to hear that. And I hope you do too. And if that is something we long to hear, then we're going to serve for it. And we're going to work for it. And we're going to honor him for it. Okay, I don't know if kids long to hear this as much as their parents and family do. But there's something about hearing your name read by a principal or a superintendent that says, Adam, I'm going to pick on you. You're hiding from me. Where did he go? Oh, you moved. No, you didn't move. Adam Ramirez, you have a diploma. There's something about that, right? There's something about the superintendent who then says your name and you are handed your diploma by somebody else that you then can say, I've done it. You think of the accomplishment of graduating from high school or graduating from college or whatever, graduating through some program where you then make the world a better place. You want to hear your name because you've done it. I want to hear my name at the end more than any other time, because that means we've done it through the grace and the mercy of God. And that's powerful. And that's what God expects from his people that he's given his talents to. Okay, we're going to do things a little bit differently when it comes to an invitation this morning. In a few moments, we're going to bring Brandon Cometti up, and then we're going to bring our seniors up. But we want you to know, and both Michael and I do this every Sunday, we are always here for you. In any form, in any fashion, if you need something, we are here.